rain that they had been forecasting for the week vanished, and now it has returned, but it's only going to be up here in the North Bay. And there is a 70% chance of precipitation this evening, with accumulations between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. And then Friday, it goes down to 20% chance, and it looks like we're going to have a nice sunny weekend with highs in the mid-60s and lows in the 40s. I'm Amanda Eichstead, jumping in today to host our Epicenter program. So please stay with me. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today, I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and I have two guests joining me today, Mark Geller and David Rempel. And our topic today is electric vehicles. Hello, and welcome to the KWMR airwaves, David and Mark.
Hi, Amanda. Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Well, thanks for joining me this morning on KWMR to talk about EVs or electric vehicles. David Rempel here is a part-time in and out, living on and off in Inverness for 30 years. He's a retired professor of engineering at UC Berkeley and a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. David, you're on the steering committee with West Marin Climate Action, and there is an event coming up next Tuesday regarding electric vehicles, and we're going to talk about more about how people can get clued into that in a little bit. But I'll also welcome Mark Geller to the air today. And Mark, you, I don't know what happened to your bio. It just jumped right out of my thing here. But you have been involved. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your experience with EVs?
Sure. I began driving an electric car in 2001. So my first electric car was sort of at the tail end of the program that some folks may remember from the late 90s and early 2000s here in California, the program that included the EV1, which, of course, is quite famous, particularly from, if you had a neighbor driving one, perhaps, or the movie Who Killed the Electric Car. Mm-hmm. Which I certainly recommend. So in 2001, I got an oddball electric car called a Think City that was offered by Ford. And
those are the ones that look like were made out of what they make coolers out of, right?
Yes, yes. Children love this car. It was bright red. It looked like it was made for a Lego set or something. But it flipped my mind. About electric vehicles. It only went about 50 miles, but it was fantastic in various ways. For San Francisco, because it was so small and I could park in the parking spot between people's driveways. But mostly because I never went to a gas station and we were about to go to war in Iraq. And it was quite obvious to me that there was a relationship between oil and war and that people driving gas cars to hold signs that said no blood for oil. It made more sense to do it in an electric car. So I was thrilled to be driving an electric car and have been driving electric ever since. And a series of electric cars. I think I've had five different electric cars over that period of time.
So what are you driving now, Mark?
Well, I'm a little bit of an EV nut, so I actually have three EVs in my stable. I have the car that I got after that, Think City, which is a 2002 Toyota RAV4 EV, which was the car Toyota, which has no desire to make electric cars at all, made back then to meet the mandate in California, and was an awesome vehicle. Mine has 101,000 miles on the original battery, and I still drive it, whenever I need to haul some stuff, because it's a great small SUV. And then I also have a 2013 Tesla that I bought used about 4 years ago when I decided I was done with only having cars that could take me about 100 miles away And I immediately, upon getting that car, drove to New York to visit my family.
Oh, that's great.
And that was fantastic. And then this year, I actually sold my Nissan Leaf from 2011 and bought a used 2011 Think City. So
great.
I again have a Think City.
David, are you driving an electric car?
I am. I have a 2018 Bolt we've had for 3 years, and I think we're putting in about 30,000 miles so far, so we use it a lot more than our other two cars, a hybrid or a small SUV.
Yeah, I have to say I have a Think City story to tell. When I worked for the city of Palo Alto back in a different career, I was in charge of the color-coded parking program as well as looking into whether or not the city should install more charging stations. And it's around that same time of the killing of the electric car. The EPRI, which is works with utilities in Palo Alto, was a utility, said, wait until they come up with these hybrid electric vehicles, which have a combustion engine as well as our electric batteries, and they will have a plug-in model. This was back in, oh my gosh, this was like 2002, 2003 mm-hmm. when they did that study. And they said in about 15 years, there will be a whole bunch of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, and then they will have more of a unified charging system. And so you would want to wait until they sort that out before you invest in a bunch of chargers. Because at the time, Mark, there were two different types of charging systems.
Absolutely. I've used both of them.
It was inductive and conductive. Were those the two?
That's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I have a question for one or both of you, and that I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and I was very excited when we got a Leaf. I was a little bit skeptical. I am prone to range anxiety, okay? I will tell you right now. What that is when you are concerned that your car is going to run out of charge and you'll be stranded on the side of the road because you have to take a detour or because there are other factors that use up your energy more quickly than you had expected. And I definitely had driven the Think because they were part of the Palo Alto fleet, and they did have a 50-mile range. But I'm curious about these Tesla charging stations. Could I have never tried to do this or looked into it, but could I take my Leaf and charge at one of those Tesla charging stations?
I will assume you're talking about the Tesla superchargers, and the answer is no. It's quite simply, no.
Okay. There's no converter or something like that, because I know that, like, when you went to New York, you probably used those superchargers.
That's right.
And that is a way to charge your car quickly and so that you can keep going. But I've always been curious, like, because that sort of split the charging system again.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and it certainly was not something that made me happy when Tesla came out with its own proprietary charging connector. The truth of the matter, for better or worse, is that they did a better job than the standards committee that ultimately came out with the official charging system. But Tesla was also out with its car before that standards committee had resolved the issue. So while in Europe, in fact, Teslas are sold with the European standard that all the different cars use, in this country at this point, Tesla still has the proprietary system. Now, for somewhat slower charging than the superchargers, which, to be clear, have a corollary called DC fast chargers for all the other cars. Who knows exactly what will happen? But at this point, what I was going to say was that there are compatibilities going in the other direction, and there are compatibilities with Tesla slower chargers. So you can get, you can buy from some companies a device that will hook onto your own, will hook onto a Tesla charger, not a supercharger, but a Tesla like somebody's in somebody's garage.
Gotcha.
Or at a B&B, and connect that so you can connect your car. So it's not completely not adaptable, but it's not adaptable in the way you really want it, which is to plug in your Leaf into the super fast Tesla superchargers that are common.
We had a first generation Leaf, and it got to the point where the charge was just getting so low that it was anxiety laden to go to Novato. I mean, especially if you had to use any climate control in your vehicle. I was driving around with my down coat, wiping things off with a towel. It was embarrassing. But in terms of, David, your Bolt is the electric one. Yeah, we drove that car, and I liked it quite a bit. But we got a better deal on the this next generation Leaf, not the Leaf Plus. And your range is really quite good. What is the range on the Bolt?
The Bolt range is around 200 miles. But I should mention that, you know, you got the new Leaf, and the new Leaf comes in two versions, one with a 150-mile range and then another one with, I think, a 220-mile range.
Yeah.
And there's about 13 manufacturers now selling electric vehicles with ranges over 200 miles. So I think that should help with your range anxiety.
Going from 80 to basically the Leaf we have has about 175, even though it's, you know, rated for 150. And it does. It does a good job. And they fixed all the things on the next generation that were kind of quirky on the first one. But I would say this is the perfect time to have an event and encourage people to think about getting an electric car because, you know, even before Mark, you got into it, we have a mutual friend, Will Beckett, who was a very early adopter, in fact, had a conversion. And there were several folks around the Palo Alto area when I lived and worked there that were, you know, converting their own cars into electric vehicles.
Yeah, Will was in electric cars before me. I mean, back when I got into it in 2001 or 2000, I was starting to get interested. I felt very much like a newbie, and I knew all the old timers. Now I'm not really a newbie anymore.
Yeah. Do you know, are there any sort of significant things that are happening at the state level or the national level that you'd like to share with listeners?
Sure. Well, there's always efforts to improve, infrastructure, charging, rebates, incentives. So some of the organizations I work with, particularly Plug In America, and you can find them at pluginamerica.org, spends a lot of time working on legislation and efforts by the state and the federal government to incentivize electric vehicles. So right now at the state level, I've particularly been working on an effort to improve the codes for new construction in order that multi-unit dwellings are mandated to have the same kind of electrical access as single-family dwellings currently are. There's also at the state level, as people may know, rebates, including a $2,000 rebate called the CVRP, the California the Clean Vehicle Rebate Program. That is probably going to be changed in the course of the next year to a slightly different program, but there will continue to be rebates. And I think you're probably in PG&E territory up there.
Yeah.
And PG&E has a rebate that I think when I got it, it was around $400, and I think it's up around $800 or $1,000 now. So it is pretty, for most people, if you get an electric car, you're going to pay more or less what you pay for the equivalent gas car because of the various rebates. And you asked about the feds. What the feds are, you know, a lot has changed, fortunately, recently. And at least we've got an administration that is open to electric vehicles, understands that renewable power and electric vehicles are where we're headed. And so the most important thing that the Biden administration has signaled they're about to do, one is a massive infrastructure development, and we're going to be involved to make sure they do that right. And then there's a cap on the federal tax credit for electric vehicles that has kicked in for General Motors and Tesla, and is about to kick in for Nissan. The way this law was written back during George Bush's time, actually, was that each manufacturer had a cap of 200,000 vehicles, 200,000 electric vehicles. And once they reached that cap, it sort of tapered off and very quickly went away. So that people who bought a car, let's say from GM, a Bolt, were going to end up probably paying more than buying one from Kia, because Kia hadn't reached that limit. So we're working very hard, and I think they're going to figure out a way to eliminate that cap for the next 5 or 10 years, so that Tesla and GM and Nissan, again, will be able to take advantage of the federal tax credit, and perhaps it will be improved so that it will be applied when you buy the car to the MSRP, so that you don't have to get that money back in a tax filing the next year.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for that information. We're talking here on Epicenter today with Mark Geller, and he is involved with the organization Plug In America.
Plug In America and the Electric Auto Association as well.
Great. And they are both online and have resources. Now, David, why don't you tell us about this event that's happening in West Marin next Tuesday, where people can learn more about electric vehicles? I know that there are a number of people who reside in West Marin who do have electric vehicles.
Well, they're actually fewer than you'd think. Marin County has about 4% of vehicles registered as electric vehicles. And the recently passed county action plan passed by the supervisors targeted 45% of vehicles sold in 2030 as being electric vehicles. So that's a big jump from 4% to 45%. So there's going to be a big push to sell electric vehicles, not only for that reason, but also because the status will basically ban new internal combustion engines by 2035. But anyway, the webinar we're going to be doing next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for an hour and a half will be sponsored by West Marin Climate Action, our local organization out here. And Supervisor Dennis Rodoni is going to do introductions. And then we'll have someone from Drawdown Marin, Alex, will talk about charge stations out here and how to bring in more charge stations that people, locals, can use, but also the 2 million people who visit our parks out here every year can use. And then Annika from Drive Clean Bay Area will talk about electric vehicles, what kinds you can get these days, and also financial incentives and what the what the big advantages are of electric vehicles. So it looks like a really great webinar, and at the end we'll have time for questions and answers too.
That's fantastic. And people can go to westmarinclimateaction.org and click on the events tab. And then there's a link on the website right there where folks can register so that they can get the credentials to sign in and participate. And I know that Supervisor Rodoni has a brand new fully electric vehicle now, because he drove past me the other day when I was riding my bike to work. So there you go. I was like, oh, look, Dennis got a new car. And we are fortunate that we had put in a charging station because we have run a lodging facility for a long time at our house in Olema. And a lot of people told me that I needed to get it put on a map. And I was like, no.
Maybe you don't want to.
I waited until they put the three charging stations at the park headquarters before I started promoting that I had one. And I actually did get a call one time from a fellow who was indignant that he needed to just park his car and charge it while he went skiing. And I said, I think you're thinking of a different Bear Valley.
Yeah, no, good point. Good point. Well, you know, if I could take a moment, I want to tout another organization I'm involved with called Adopt a Charger, a nonprofit that puts in fee-free electric vehicle charging in lots of places in California, particularly in parks and destinations. And we've been very active in West Marin. And I agree that the Marin hasn't been as active as the government there as they probably ought to be. But we put in charging at Stinson Beach and at Point Reyes at the Visitor Center.
Oh, thank you. That was great.
And yeah, and it's fantastic. I mean, we would like to actually put in some more. We're always looking for some kind of funding to help us do it. And it's the best kind of charging because, you know, you go, you plug in at your park, you relieve some range anxiety, go for a walk for a couple hours, you know, get 20 or 30 or 40 miles back and carry on. And it doesn't cost anything. You don't have to wave a card or do anything special.
That is, you know, I have had trouble when I had the earlier model Leaf. Basically now for most of the trips that we do, we can charge at home and get back home to charge again. And we have solar panels. So that's a nice, good feeling that you can charge off your own generated electricity at your house. But there have been times when I have been skeptical about my range because of my fully admitted range anxiety and pulled into a parking lot and there's a big old gas guzzling vehicle parked in the EV spot. What types of penalties are there for people who do that? Does anybody know?
Yes, there are. Yeah, it's different by jurisdiction. I think the jurisdictions are allowed to create local laws that have a penalty for parking in an electric vehicle charging spot. But each, you know, only some places do it. And then getting a cop or a parking enforcement officer to deal with it is not that easy. So, yes, it's called icing when an internal combustion engine vehicle parks in an electric car spot. And sometimes it's accidental. Sometimes it's intentional. And it is a problem. And I'm really sorry to hear that happened. I think what happens is often folks see a very convenient parking spot that they've seen empty before, mm-hmm. because some of these charging stations aren't used a lot, not because there aren't many people with electric cars in the area, but if you're going to a shopping mall, the chances are you haven't driven 75 miles to get there, so you don't need a charge, so you will only charge, most likely, if it happens to be free, because you're not going to pay double or triple what you pay at home to charge your car if you don't need it. So people see that empty spot and decide, there's no electric cars here. I'm just taking the spot.
Yeah.
And they should be penalized.
Yeah. And were you going to add something to that, David?
No, I don't know the answer to that, but I've never encountered that problem in all the driving we've been doing. We've driven up to Reno and back with the Bolt. We have to then charge in Auburn or Sacramento. And it's you know, pretty easy to make those kind of distances, even with the Bolt, without having to stop at the Tesla, you know, fast charge sites.
That's great. Yeah, that's really, I think it's very liberating to have a car with that type of range. I know my first experience with the Think, a city, the little 50-mile car, I really felt like I was driving around in a pink cooler. It was such a cute car.
I wanted to add one more thing that, you know, there's now 30 different models of electric vehicles on the market, and PG&E has a really good website listing them because, of course, they want us all to switch to electric vehicles. They'll sell more electricity, which is good. But those 30 all have ranges more than 200 miles. So it really helps with the range anxiety issue.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to mention is that some of those models with rebates are under $20,000 new. So the price shouldn't scare people as much as it might have before. These vehicles, pricing is less than it used to be. And with the rebates, it makes them really affordable, especially since you aren't paying for gas.
And it's really fun to drive an electric car. They are really responsive. They tend to be a little bit heavier with the bottom weight. They handle really well. They aren't stinky. This is the time. This is their time is now, is electric vehicles. And so I highly encourage it, having been an early adopter, but now have gotten over my range anxiety for the most part because the car goes almost 175 miles on one charge, which is really, really great. So this event next week, which David Rempel from West Marin Climate Action is here to talk about, is happening at 7 p.m. And you can register at the West Marin Climate Action website. And there will be a panel, and then there will be time for questions and answers, and you will learn more about electric cars than you ever thought you needed to know. Anything else you'd like to add about that, David?
No, I think people will enjoy the event, and I think that the other factor here is that all the big auto manufacturers have announced that they're ending the production of internal combustion engines. So VW, 2026, Volvo, 2025, GM, 2035, Toyota's the worst, 2040, but they're all planning to end internal combustion engines, so it's time to step up and check out electric vehicles.
Yeah, I think it'll be really great when, as Mark Geller mentioned, he bought a used vehicle that you can pick these up, used vehicles, because a lot of times folks who are in the lower income brackets do not buy new cars. And I don't know that there have been as many used electric vehicles available for folks. But I think that will change as well with more of these vehicles in the market.
That's a very good point, Amanda. And in fact, most car sales in the United States are used cars. New cars, the average new car price is around $35,000 or $38,000 a year. And most people do not look to spend anything like that, or, you know, the equivalent lease. They buy a used car. And there are fantastic deals on used EVs. Certainly, a lot of them are the lower range models. But one ought not be too scared. You got to really evaluate what you do with a car. And there are an awful lot of people who drive cars a lot less than they think they do. And they have a commute of 20 or 30 miles. And if you've got an outlet on both ends, you're set. And you can pick up a used Leaf at this point for anything between, say, $4,000 and $10,000 and save $100 or $200 a month on the gasoline you were spending and avoid the stinky fingers.
Especially since most people who live out here, though, we do tend to drive longer distances because of our proximity to metropolitan areas. But in the more densely populated areas, it is true that people may drive just like between 5 and 10 miles a day. And having an electric vehicle just takes all that emissions out of that densely populated area, helps with our air quality. And it's a good idea to check it out. So I hope that folks who are listening to this Epicenter program today on KWMR will take advantage of the opportunity to join West Marin Climate Action next Tuesday at 7 p.m. The website is westmarinclimateaction.org. And I want to thank you, Mark Geller, for joining me today and for your representation of West Marin Climate Action. And also, Mark Geller, thank you for taking the time out to join us here at KWMR.
Thank you, Amanda.
All right. Take care. You guys have a great day.
Bye now.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming at kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening. are listening to KWMR Point Reyes Station, where we broadcast 90.5 FM in Point Reyes Station, 89.9 in Bolinas, and 92.3 in the San Geronimo Valley. We are listener-supported West Marin Community Radio, streaming live and archiving online at kwmr.org. KWMR is supported by our